This is the Epilogue Audio Experience.
The views, thoughts and opinions expressed are the host's own and do not represent the views, thoughts and opinions of Epilogue Media Private Limited. The material and information presented here is for general information purposes and or entertainment purposes only. Listener discretion advised.
Dear listener, every single day we put up our lives online. It may be for love, it may be for friendship, it may be for business. The world has become such a closer place to us, where one day you are chatting with someone in the same neighborhood, but on the next day you're striking a business deal in New York. You're finding a new friend in Cuba. You're finding someone memorable, someone lovable in another coast of the world. It's all great, isn't it? But there's a dark side to it. Imagine, you are on your favorite social network, let's say Instagram. There's a new guy, a girl, who befriends you. You share a lot in common. You start chatting. You become great friends. You share your highs, your lows, the goods, the bads, everything. It's all great until one day when it all comes back and that friend is no longer your friend. Your information has been leaked to someone. That someone is now threatening you that you are no longer safe. How does it make you feel? I'm sure you would look at internet in a different way from now. Welcome to Being the Change on Epilogue Media. I am Rohan Thakkar, and on this episode, I have with me Dr. Sheetal Gagrani and Amrita Devra, whose personal experiences have led them to start an initiative to raise awareness, raise a voice on cyberbullying. Amrita, Dr. Sheetal, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you for having us here.
Dr. Sheetal, why don't you introduce yourself and how did this initiative, Brush of Hope, come into the life?
I'm Dr. Sheetal Gagrani. I'm a consultant radiologist working in University Hospital, Sussex. Last year, 15th of March, 2023, NEET pre-PG results came out. And my niece, who was 25, didn't fare well at all. And on 22nd of March, she committed suicide. So for the outer world, it was as if she has not done well in the exams, and that was the whole scene in the home for 7 days. Somehow I just didn't feel everything right, and I, being close to her, doctor to doctor, and my only niece, I used to spend time in her room, and I found a strip of half-eaten antidepressants, and I just asked myself that if the results came on 15th and she died on 22nd, why are these antidepressant tablets there? Was she self-medicating? I was a doctor. I could identify their antidepressant, potent antidepressants. And then I was on mission. I started talking to every friend or cousin of hers who came to pay their respect. I put hands on their shoulder, took them out, and I asked, how was last year? Was she behaving differently? And one child told me, Auntie, she had a stalker. And this is like fourth or fifth day of her death that I came to know that she had an online stalker. Then I asked the kids to open their Instagram and show me Swara's post on their Instagram. I went through all the posts, and then I started looking into her room, into her books, into her diary, into her letters, and everything that I could. Started reaching out to her friends, started collating things. So then I started reading her diary, which enigmatically, she has not written that she's stalked, but she has written the things like, you know, that she has not been a good girl, or she may be disgraced to some. So these things together then slowly made me realize that there was a larger picture rather than just exams. And then having collected all these things, I came back to Bombay, and my son was getting married at that time, and I just kept collecting incidences, asking her friends to take photo shots of her WhatsApp messages, And so she had confided in lots of friends, mm-hmm. but not in. And then in her diary somewhere, she writes that I have done a crime. I have done a cyber crime online complaint. So she was shouting for help, but at wrong places.
Mm-hmm.
Then somehow we found her Twitter account in which she has written that she, can someone help me? I'm a victim of cybercrime. I have, then she has written to CyberDost, please help me. CyberDost is, I think, a Twitter account of Central Government of India. And she writes, on such and such days, I have messaged you. Can you look into the message? And then collated all these instances, we came back home. And then I talked to my husband, who is a senior official in Government of India, who then approached cybercrime branch. And then they took help from Instagram, Facebook, Meta and everything. And they could actually trace down the culprit. And the culprit is now been handed over to the legal authorities. In this journey, I realized two, three things. One, that the from reading her books, I see that we don't teach our girls the shades of human grey. There is so much of tight watershed. A good girl is this and a bad girl is this. So the victim themselves, they think they are culprits rather than victims. That's what I saw in Sora's diary, that I may bring shame to my family.
Mm-hmm.
So realizing that you are a victim, not a culprit, is very necessary. Had she thought that way, she may have approached the elders in the family. Secondly, I thought that there was no proper guidance. It was not that she was not trying to save herself. She was seeking help. But she went to CyberDose, she went to some online, but there was no proper online cybercrime dedicated cell is still non-existent.
Mm-hmm.
So that other thing that, so from that, and while I was going through all this, her diaries and everything, I started finding little squares of paintings, and I saw that her painting over time changed. So this girl doodles in her free times in a small, so the paintings are not huge, big paintings. She's not a trained artist, but she has put her emotions on small squares. And that's when I brought that all, and I, Amrita is like my daughter to me, and I showed her and I said that I want to come out with this story. Then we thought of creating this through the medium of art. I mean, you need to have some story, something visual for people to have. And I didn't want to bring this out in a very dark manner also.
Hmm.
So kind of like relatable manner, and like, you know, showing that she's just a normal girl. Not a good girl, not a bad girl. She has a good, bad, ugly, mundane, low, high. She's just a very normal girl, relatable to everyone in this society. So we thought that we will display the paintings along with some more artwork. So that was one part of it. And then I started talking to a few of my friends, because you need people along with you to bring the change as well. So one of them is Amrita's mom herself and two more friends. So four of us then on the other background have started, we're starting an NGO. We are in the process wherein like we were thinking that with along with Cybercrime Branch, if we can guide the people to somewhere, because that's one place which I thought that Swara didn't get the proper guidance as to where to complain, whom to complain. Mm. Had there was any dedicated cell or these kind of shows or somewhere she came across, if she Googled cybercrime, we want to kind of like direct, A, is stopping, changing the society. And third, if something happens, directing them in the right channels. So that's the whole idea behind it.
I would of course come to Amrita in a bit. But before that, you mentioned that Swara was trying to reach out to different portals, different initiatives of government as well, but it wasn't existent or
they
what
are
was it?
Existent, but I think the thing is, I think probably they might be giving too many messages or those things, so probably no one looks into the message. There's other way to handle it, but I mean, she did try. We have evidences that she has written to CyberDost and everything, but she never got any response back.
Yeah.
She did an online complaint also. So I don't know how many online complaints happen. Do they genuinely get looked into it?
Yeah.
Or sheer amount of it that how many can they physically go through? So probably having a direct... So there is a direct line, but that is only for financial frauds.
Hmm.
But there is no such line for these kind of frauds.
Okay.
And plus deepfake and all coming in, I mean, this is going to be a grave thing. And last year, like, Economist has done a great article which said that the suicide trends have changed.
Yeah.
Earlier, the suicides used to be more in male and more in 40s and 50s. It has all shifted to younger, less than 25 and females.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm correct, I've forgotten this article a little bit, but it said that something about 200% rise in the number of suicide from 2010 till now in women under 25. And actually the catch line of Economist was that have we lost the whole generation of young women to smartphone? So somewhere this magnitude is too high probably that I think we can't just leave things to authorities. I think we need to do our own bit as well. It is such a huge magnitude that how long can the authorities sustain just on themselves? Sarkar karegi, log karenge, to chal nahi sakta.
There has to be a community
intervention. You have to be a...
So
as it used to being the change, so everyone has to change to bring the change.
Can you share a little more insight into what was the situation so that our listeners can be a little more aware about that they might be going through something similar, but they have not yet discovered it?
I think this was all during COVID times. People were lonely and exam stress. And we all know that 18 to 25 to 30, everyone is trying to build their own life. There are lots of stresses. And in that time, I think a lot of people are getting lonelier or are finding solace in talking to strangers, whosoever talks good to them. I mean, there are momentarily, we are all humans. We are run by emotions. So there are times when you kind of trust people. So probably I think she writes somewhere that I, in her diary, there is an expert which says that I trust people. And sometimes because of that, I fall in trouble. So what I interpret from that is probably she's talked to someone who came as a friend. So I haven't been given the detailed story from the police because the case is going on. But what I know is that the imposter came in front form of a girl first and took out her details as to what kind of family she is in. So she kind of like he and she understood a little bit, you know. I wouldn't say orthodox, but a routine Indian family where you know that we would say
family.
The traditional family, where we would say that the girl should not go out in late night. And that all stems from the society and protection and those kind of things. So the probably he understood this is the girl who would probably get afraid. So or will trust. So took out information, then made another ID, took out more information as to who are your friends and everything. And then came on and started threatening, I know who you are. As another identity. I know all about you. This girl doesn't know that she is the one who has given the information herself. And she's now afraid that he knows everything about me. So probably just faked a photo of hers to start with, threatening sending it to her friends and, you know, asking her to come online and probably then getting her involved in dubious activities and then probably recording her. So from starting from fake and getting... are threatening her and those kind of things. So is what I can't say 100% what happened, but because as I said that we never knew about it. There were telltale signs and we then we had to kind of put the jigsaw puzzle together and the police knows the case more detailed. But the guy was caught. But what in gist was taught that he made multiple IDs, talked to her as a friend first, took out all the information as a female friend, made a female, he came as a female model. And then made multiple IDs and then started threatening, and you know, that's how it happened.
So she's not just one target. There are several of them who may have been.
So this person has a case registered in Madhya Pradesh before, but which was withdrawn. So probably because, you know, probably if the girl is alive, people may not want to pursue it further because make it a legal case. Because again, the honor that we put into female fragility, the honor of fragility is so much attached that ki hum agar case kar denge to kya hoga, to darar dhamka ke hum band kar de. To iske saath ek case ho chuka hai Maharashtra mein, Madhya Pradesh mein, with this, the person who is a culprit. And he doesn't know Swara. He like sends messages to 100 girls at a time. And then 2% or 1%, they kind of respond. Right. And then he chooses his targets. So he was doing to other people as well. He's habitual.
Yeah. Is there a way to be safe from this? Because this can happen with anyone, with me or with any of the other people who may have been, you know.
Yeah, I think that, like, as you say, people did ask me that who started talking first? Why did she go online? In today's day and age, I think so. There's not all bad to social media. There is so much good as well. And this is the way of life. Yeah. You can't stop them from doing that. But I think you have to follow your instinct. You don't talk to the strangers. If you are talking to someone, some stranger, don't exchange your very personal details, or don't change your photographs. I mean, people don't know that the sending of nude photograph is also illegal. So those kind of things should not happen. I would say that if you've chatted to someone and if you like someone, ask that person to meet you in person. Go with a friend. Date like we used to date in our days over a coffee. You may meet them as a stranger, talk to them, but don't fall for them on the internet. Meet them in person. At least you know who that person is. And secondly, check the ID. That whether the person, what they write, a blue-eyed boy looking like a foreigner but not writing a good English. Something wrong there. So use your instincts, use your intellectuals as to see whether the ID could be fake or not.
Yeah.
And post that, even if you have done something or someone is morphing your images, then please take proper help. Kind of like, go and talk to the authorities, go and talk to the parents. I mean, it's very easy to make a fake photograph these days. So don't get extremely afraid. And I would also say that fear is much larger in the brain. There are so many things in life that you keep fearing and they don't come to. I'm sure she must have thought that she has fallen prey to, I don't know, a big racket. Because there are 3-4 IDs troubling her.
Right.
And whereas I feel that if she was alive, or if she's seeing from above, and if she sees who was trolling her, she would say ki main is akele bande se dar gayi. All she needed to do was ja kar le ukhad le kya karna hai mere ko nahi tere se baat karni tere paas hai mera photo hai kya. This was it, isn't it? So I also feel that lot of power that we give to the culprit, we only give them power of fear, power of fragility, power of honor. Hum hi unke haath mein dete hain wo power, and then they kind of So lot many things. There are a lot of sex rackets, syndicates and everything. But a lot of it is just petty crime by one person. So that's another thing I want to come across is that, you know, the fear hum jitna dimag mein bana lete hain, hum jitna usko badhana chahenge, hum utna badha sakte hain.
Yeah.
So you have to take right actions to stop them.
Do you think trusting the family is the way to go in this case?
Trusting the family is the way indeed. It has to be an open dialogue. And also, I think that the younger generation, I think they always say that the parents don't understand them, is a common scenario. Whereas I don't know how much the younger generation understands their parents either. I mean, our generation is the generation which has seen the maximum changes. So the way we were born and brought up to what we are, liberties we are giving to our child, it is a, we have walked miles if they reflect back. Like the kids these days, the girls say that, like Swara sometimes says that parents are strict, they don't let you go out. I am the daughter of the same family. She doesn't even know what strictness was. I mean, to now to give people the liberty to meet their own people, bring their own... I am from a generation where I was shown my prospective husband 15 minutes and I was said, this is the guy you're getting married to. So from there where I am coming, I have made a huge progress. So human to human, I think there needs to be a lot more empathy for the parents from the younger generation also, that we are trying. The way we are raising you is, it's completely different from the way we were raised. So we are walking. Though it from their side, it may feel that you don't understand us, but we are changing a lot. So this empathy has to be both sided. The younger generation needs to learn to have empathy towards their parents also. Because parents are humans too. Absolutely. That is what they sometimes forget. That we are very human. We are trying. We are learning the new ways of loving this younger generation, which we never knew as a child. But then we need help from you to learn to love you. You got what I mean to say? So when you need to teach us the ways, you can't just cut us out. We are trying. And I mean, and yeah, there are incidences, very rare psychopathic incidences where the parents are wrong. But generally, by and large, the people who will love you most are the parents, or who will cry for you are the parents. Some friends, yes. But most of the times, the peer will actually, you know, aapko chadhayenge. Par unka loss nahi hota hai. Loss sabse jyada family ka aur parents ka hi hota hai. Bachcha jab chala jata hai, to friends ko dukh hota hai, say that. But utna to I think nahi hota hai ki jitna family ka loss hota hai. So bachche ko kai baar ye samajh mein nahi aata hai ki agar aapko mana kiya ja raha hai, to uske piche fear of losing you. आप लोगों से थोड़ी दुनिया ज्यादा देखी है पेरेंट्स ने. सो दैट नीड्स टू बी देयर. द मोर एंड मोर आई फाइंड दैट लॉट्स ऑफ किड्स आई हैव सीन दैट पेरेंट्स डोंट अंडरस्टैंड मी, पेरेंट्स डोंट अंडरस्टैंड मी. हाउ मच डू यू अंडरस्टैंड योर पेरेंट्स? हैव यू एवर आस्क्ड योरसेल्फ दिस क्वेश्चन? क्योंकि उसकी डायरी जब भी मैं पढ़ती हूँ तो उसमें यही लिखा है, मेरे माँ बाप मुझे नहीं समझ में आते, माँ बाप नहीं समझ में आते. पर it has to be a two-way street, isn't it?
The communication has
to be. Your human empathy has to be from both sides. Don't put parents on the pedestal. Treat them as human who love you.
We have a show called Global Desi Parenting, and the host herself is a family scientist. So she said that a parent is born when the day the child is born. So they both are of the same age.
Exactly, I said that we are trying to learn to love you. But you need to help us with the new ways of loving you. I mean, hum log jahan pe, like hamare yahan pe, hum log us generation ke hain ki kitab exchange kar liya, ungli touch ho gayi to hum log ko lagta tha abhi chal raha hai kuch. Yahan pe tum log ki relationship sex chat pe, us kya Snapchat pe kuch streak banti hai. हमारे पल्ले के बाहर है ना, तो हम समझ रहे हैं धीरे धीरे. सो फ्रॉम दैट टू हियर इट्स कंप्लीटली डिफरेंट. सो अंटिल अनलेस यू टेल अस, हाउ विल वी अंडरस्टैंड?
कम टू अमृता, She has taken the initiative to present Swara's art into a very interesting style. I would definitely come to that. But what has been your experience being on the internet? You, I believe, would be of the same age as Swara if she were here today.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I would have been at the same age as her. Of course, I think that the cyberspace is something that we live in just as much as we live in the real space. And more so for my generation, probably, than the elder one. My personal experience, to be honest, I've never been on any of the apps or anything like that in my history. So I haven't had an experience firsthand of anything like that. But I have a lot of friends that have, you know, literally found love and their life partners on the app as well. So it's not all bad. It's just that, as Auntie is saying, that the importance of cyber safety is what needs to be a conversation. In the same way that when we go out, we think of our physical safety, right? When I'm getting in a car, I'm not going to speed. That's the safety of me in my car. So just being aware of being safe on the internet is what's important, I think, for my generation to know. And I think why Auntie is a personal inspiration to me is because she's been able to take her grief and channel it into action, and just championed this cause all the way through. Like, I'm just here to support her in whatever I can do, but it's absolutely her brainchild. And the ability to take something so personal, to be so courageous about it, and then to make actual change with it is commendable. If the person who this person was cyberbullying before Swara had Auntie in their life and stopped it right there, then Swara would be with us now, right? So just by the act that Auntie's fought tooth and nail to find the culprit, she's already saved two more people that he was currently bullying. And then with a brush of hope, so much more. Yeah.
So what are we doing with the brush of hope? You run an art expo. Designera. So
yes.
What are you presenting over there?
So I'll let Auntie give you a brief on the Brush of Hope Foundation, and then I can tell you a little bit about the exhibition.
So Brush of Hope Foundation is being formed. It is in process as we talk. We have sent our papers to for registration as an NGO. So we have four of us. The Brush of Hope ideology is kind of to create awareness about whatever I said, and also we physically want to start a dedicated helpline in collaboration with cybercrime department. Okay, so kind of fundings would be our, but we would want a dedicated helpline to start over there. And part of our offline presence is to create this exhibition as rotatory exhibition and take it to various schools, and that's where so art curation has been done by Amrita. So there are two aspects to the art curation. One is physically experts from Sara's diary and her paintings, because you need some medium to talk, as I said. And part of it is like, which Amrita has curated with other artists, which talks about on the topic of safety, how to use and what are the damaging effects of Instagram and those kind of things, which Amrita will put more light on to.
I've often heard that pen is mightier than the sword, but art is much more expressive than the pen. So how can the art express what Swara had her inner thoughts?
So I think art as a whole is a very, very powerful medium to do two things. One, to evoke emotion. Without saying much and looking at an art piece, it can really move you. And second, to raise awareness, because of the same reason that it can communicate a very strong message.
Yeah,
I think Swara left behind for us a treasure trove of her soul. Literally looking at her art and reading her diary is like a window to her soul. And I feel like I know her so intimately without having ever met her, just because she's left this behind for us. So we are exhibiting a lot of her pieces. And what's important to understand is that she's more than just this incident, right? Her pieces have everything. They have moments with her mom, with her family, with her friends, beautiful moments of her life, as well as, of course, there are depictions of her depression, of her being unable to get out of bed. So we wanted to cover the entire spectrum of her human emotion with her pieces. And we've taken pages out of her diary, which she kept so beautifully, and turned those into interesting art pieces. Mm. So we're displaying that at the exhibition. And beyond that, we've conceptualized lots of pieces that surround the themes of cybercrime, depression, the anonymity of the cyberspace, of the fragility of women, and all various themes that support the issue that we're trying to raise awareness for.
Can you give an instance of one of the art installations?
Sure. Let me think. There's so many. So my favorite one I'll tell you about, just because I think it's a powerful one. We have this one mirror piece. And when you stand and you look at your reflection in the mirror, and it's an interactive installation where we will invite viewers to look in the mirror. The part with the face is missing. So that part is empty. And it's about the loss of identity on social media. So how not only the person you're talking to doesn't have an identity, but you yourself lose your identity. The whole issue of us only showing the best part of our life on social media, or the fact that we're not our authentic self and the person you're talking to is not their authentic self. So you're looking at your reflection, but your face is actually missing. And this same mirror has quotes from Swara in her handwriting written on the mirror that of the feeling that she was going through with the cyberspace. So when you actually interact with it, it's quite a powerful installation.
Wow. So it's not just looking at it, but the person would feel as if...
Yeah, absolutely. And the frustration of looking in a mirror and not being able to see your face is something that I want people to experience. Wow. Because they can so easily do that on social media. But to do that on in the real world is something that they struggle with. Yeah. Right?
Lovely. I wanted to come back to the, you know, the theme where people are being bullied on the internet. What does this exactly mean? And from a scale that maybe may seem trivial to someone, you know, like level 0 to level 10 that we just heard, what are the stages that if you would, you know, enlighten?
I mean, very simply, sometimes when someone writes a derogatory comment to your... I mean, I came across a post from Julia Roberts where her niece posted a photo with her, and people started writing, oh, she's aging so bad. Why did she post it? And like, you know, she doesn't look like a woman also. She looks like a man. Here's a 50 plus woman who's just sitting in the morning with her niece without any makeup. And so those kind of things. And Julia Roberts says that even as a 50-year-old woman, it did bother me. And I was, she just said that I when I think back, what would it have cost me as a young girl? So from as simple as some negative comments about how you look or what you're wearing or what you're doing, a small meme. So these are smaller things. Then it could become like, you know, your ID can be taken off. You can have financial frauds. Your money can go away. Your photos can be morphed, can be used in some other places. And then obviously you can be blackmailed. So it starts with, so there is always a triad, which is like, so these are smaller things which I said about trolling and all, but the serious things is cyber stalking leading to cyber bullying, first going to cyber stalking, and from there it goes to sextortion. So someone is constantly stalking you everywhere. So as if someone is like, hum jab raat ko chalte hain, koi hamare peeche chalne lag jaye physically, to kaisa lagega? So you feel that on the social media, as if like someone's presence is constantly haunting you. So cyber stalking. And then it can become like, you know, it could be that your photo could be morphed, or it could be that you chatted and you shared the image and they saved it without you knowing. So it could be your real image. It could be, which was done in consent. So I'm not saying it is bad, because see, we are in a world where people will make relationships like that. So whatever is consensual is all right. But when the consent is absent, it becomes crime. Threatening, extortion, these things, like when one person is not willing and the other person is trying to extort. So then sextortion can come. There are so many things of revenge porn, wherein like a boy and girl, they meet and then they are in a relationship and for some reason it goes bad. And then that can be used to the previous good memories can be used to destroy you or to bully you. So there are various means to it. It could be very simple, small, which kind of like, as I said, that even Julia Roberts said that at that age, just to read negative comments and then people fighting themselves about, like there are supporters and there are people who are like fighting that, why are you saying that? Even that is like, I mean, she is on the side, but people are fighting among themselves about like, you know, why do you write that? She's so good. And someone said, oh no, she's not aging very well. Those things also, if we say, they do take a lot of your headspace. If someone puts in real life also, if you have a small fight or argument, we are all human, that lingers on. It does linger on from the social media also. And then it is written. It is for you to go back again, read it and fall. It may have happened today, but it is there. I can go on and read again and again. So negativity does affect you from even in the smaller way also.
Yeah.
I think just to interject here.
Yeah, sure.
The heart of the issue of social media and cyber safety versus other safety is the facelessness of it, I think.
Mm.
So the same person who's commenting on Julia Roberts' picture would not have the ability to go and tell her this in person.
Mm.
So the idea that people think that they're hiding behind a phone and it's easier to do it through the means of that. When people start to understand that there's a person behind the phone and you saying it to them on social media should be equal to you saying it to them in person, then I think a lot of these issues will be minimized.
Mm. Is the thinking.
Yeah, I also feel that, I don't know, I feel that every social media account should become verified at some stage. Most of the trolling that happens with a faceless account who doesn't have an ID and doesn't have any post or followers.
Mm.
If you go back. So I really feel that these big social media moguls, they should ask for a photo ID, passport ID, Aadhaar card. Phone number lete wajah se Aadhaar card lete na, mujhe aisa lagta hai ki Aadhaar card leke banana chahiye. Ownership. There is no ownership. I can create 10 IDs, I can troll anyone or anything. So there is a very 2006 mein, there was a case of Meghan Mayer. Read it. So this is a 14 or a 16 year old girl. She had a fight with her friend. The friend and friend's mom made a faceless ID or ID of a beautiful boy, good looking boy, befriended her and used to troll her. So facelessness, anyone can be anyone behind that.
We actually have an artwork dedicated to this where you see this massive crowd of people in the painting, but all of their faces are colored. So that you don't see their faces, you just see them. And it's augmented reality enabled. So when you scan the piece and you sort of make it come to life on your phone, then you just see their Instagram IDs popping up on the screen. Attributing to the same idea that your identity is becoming so closely linked to this faceless faceless identity.
Lovely. I would like to end this on a positive note where we are becoming more aware about how the situation is, how can we take care of ourselves in this virtual world. We would be having more conversation in the next part as well with Mr. Yashasvi Yadav, who is an IPS officer and has also been involved with you to raise awareness on this. But just to end it on a positive note, what is your take on the way today's generation should live? Because it's not a preaching part, or it's not a learning, you know, textbook 101, but something that, you know, something positive that they should know on how do they live. Because I read that around 1.8 billion people on the internet are not adults.
Go online, but remember, internet never forgets, internet never forgives. And then add whatever you want to add to the cyberspace and take whatever you want to take from the cyberspace. Mm.
Lovely. How about you? Anything to add?
I think that that's the perfect way to end it, like golden words.
Internet never forgets and internet never forgives.
Yeah.
Everything that you have sent into cyberspace is there.
Full, and it may have opened your eyes a little bit. Cyberbullying is not just about such grave instances, but it's also about the tiny instances. It could be someone trolling you. It could be someone who would be fat shaming you online. It could be someone who would be invading your privacy. You need to raise a voice, and a voice starts with you. We would be back with more such conversations, and I would love for you to join being the change by subscribing on the Epilogue Media app or your preferred streaming platforms.